to Psalm chapter 96. Psalm 96. I've been studying this passage for about the last 2 weeks, and we're going to look at every verse, so it's going to take us a few weeks to get through this. But today I want to read the whole psalm so you get an idea what we're going to be studying. And I want you to look at the positive tone of Psalm 96. I call Psalm 96 the missions psalm, because I believe it really shows what God's people are to be doing every day. But as I studied it, I found out it's not just a mission psalm, it's a millennial psalm. It really shows the character of God's kingdom in the year and when He comes to reign on the earth. Verse 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it be not moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for He cometh. For He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth." The mission and millennial psalm. Now, if you study your Bible, you'll find that the occasion of this psalm, when it was first recorded, was in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And this is when David appointed singers to sing this song, because the Ark of God, which had been among the Philistines and then taken to the house of Obed-Edom, the Ark was brought up from the house of Obed-Edom to Jerusalem. It was such a joyous and a holy occasion that David ordered the Levites and the singers that he had appointed to sing this song of praise unto the Lord. Now you understand what the ark signified. The ark of God in the Old Testament signified the special presence of God, specifically the glory of the Messiah who was to come. And they were rejoicing that the ark had been returned to its rightful place. the heathen among the idolatrous Philistines, those Gentiles who had no appreciation whatsoever for what the ark represented and what it meant to the nation of Israel, while it was among them, it just caused them trouble. You see, they could not bear to have the ark in their midst. They thought they had done a big thing when they had captured the ark. But wherever they put it, it brought them trouble. It destroyed their idols. They couldn't bear it in their midst. David's psalm points us to a glorious day when the ark of God would be personified in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the everlasting King. Now we learn from this psalm that our glorious King is alone worthy of songs of praise. And these songs of praise are to be sung throughout all the earth. As I read this psalm, I couldn't help but think what a joyous, what a positive tenor and attitude permeates this psalm. Singing the glory of God, praising God, declaring the sovereignty of God, that His rule and reign, and people rejoicing in that, bringing an offering to declare that their love and their loyalty to God. What a joyous psalm this is. See, I believe that our King, King Jesus, is worthy of praise throughout all the earth. His name, His glory, His majesty, His honor is to be magnified. And I believe this psalm is all about that. This song that they sung. Now I've often referred to this, and I've referred to this psalm so many times in preaching. And I call it the mission psalm. Spurgeon, the old preacher, the old English Baptist preacher from the 1800s, called it a mission hymn. But I believe this psalm has a present day application where the glory of Christ and His work is declared throughout all the world. And by the power of His salvation, sinners are translated out of darkness into His kingdom of light and glory and grace. In fact, the Bible talks about that. If you turn over to, keep your place in Psalm 96, we're going to spend most of our time there, but over in Colossians chapter 1, don't be alarmed. All I need is a drink of water. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. Notice something here. This is the work of God. He's the one that prepares and makes you meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You don't have the ability in and of yourself to come into the glorious presence of God. God must work that in you. And notice what it says in verse 13, who hath delivered us, saved us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I will never forget the day when I was translated, when I was regenerated, when I was raised out of the death and depravity and degradation of my sin and my iniquity, and I was God found me in that miry pit and He raised me out of it. And He gave me life and gave me grace and gave me the ability to believe that Jesus died for me, that He was buried and He rose again from the dead. What a glorious translation that resulted in a monumental transformation. My life changed completely when I was translated out of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It says in verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." See, I believe Psalm 96 talks about showing forth this salvation from day to day. It has a present day application. We are responsible to declare that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation, redemption, forgiveness, each and every day of our lives. Now, I also believe that Psalm 96 has application to when Christ shall reign upon the earth for 1,000 years, fulfilling the purpose for which God created and appointed for this earth. Listen, right now, you read this psalm, and it talks about the reign of God on the earth. The glory of God being magnified. The majesty of God being praised. That is not happening on this earth right now, by and large. The world is becoming increasingly hostile and hateful to the idea that is expressed in this psalm. When we declare among the heathen, "The Lord reigneth. God is the final authority. You have no right to change His law, His word. He's the authority, not you." This psalm shows us that there is coming a day when all the governments of men are going to be dissolved. And the King will reign supreme. And I look forward to that glad millennial day when there'll be no more wickedness and immorality and injustice and pedophilia. There'll be none of that when King Jesus reigns upon this earth. He's going to rule in righteousness. He is going to judge righteously. There will be no bribes. There'll be no payoffs. Absolute justice and righteousness will reign supreme. And it's going to fulfill one of the promises and the prophecies that Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Psalm 5:5. It'll also be a fulfillment of the model prayer when we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. This psalm is the reality of that. Now, I don't deny right now the nature of the everlasting kingdom as it is presented and expressed in the spiritual reign of Christ in His people. I believe when you're born again, you're translated into Christ's kingdom. But that does not nullify in any way the reign of Christ literally upon this earth. So let not our amillennial brethren deny the literal manifestation of the everlasting kingdom during Christ's literal reign upon this earth. I believe He will be present on this earth. As we read this psalm, our hearts should swell with praise, and our mouths ought to burst into song as we consider the glories of our great Savior and King. You know, as troubled as our world is right now, as uncertain as things may appear, I still got a song in my heart. That nobody is going to be able to take away. No matter what the circumstances, no matter how dark, how bleak things may appear, I can still sing praises to Almighty God for His saving work. That He saved my soul. I've seen Him save other people. He is God, is still working. We ought to rejoice in that. Don't let the news of the day or the month or the year cloud your perception of things. God Almighty is on His throne. And He does all things well. And we can rejoice in Him. Now, the first two verses, the word sing is recorded three times. So I thought my first point today would be sing, sing, sing. Now, don't be alarmed. I'm not going to sing for you. I want everybody to stay. But let's read this. Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Well, as I thought about this command to sing, could this command to sing unto the Lord that is repeated three times have reference to the Godhead, the Holy Trinity? Can we not sing unto the glory of God the Father, who loved us with an everlasting love in the covenant of grace and determined to save us by selecting and appointing us, ordaining us to salvation? Can we not praise God the Father and sing to His glory for His eternal purpose of grace? Can we not sing to the glory of the second person of the sacred Trinity, the eternally begotten Son of God, who agreed in that covenant of grace to die in the stead, to come and to be made flesh, to walk among men, to live in perfection, to go to the cross and die in the stead of all that the Father gave Him, to offer His life, His blood, His merits, His righteousness, to die in our place and then raise from the dead? Can we not sing to the glorious work of our great Savior? And then can we not sing glory and praise to the Holy Spirit, who in that covenant of grace and redemption agreed to regenerate all that the Father gave the Son and all that the Son came to die for? Every one of God's sheep, He knows them by name. He brings them to life. He gives them at that very moment the grace to believe that Jesus died for them and was buried and rose again. You see, we can sing. We can sing to the glory of God for His marvelous work of redemption, His plan of salvation, and the fact that I'm included in it humbles me. Because I'm not worthy to be saved. I deserve eternal damnation for the magnitude of my sins and the weight and the guilt of my sins. But today, I can sing the praises of Almighty God God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit working in harmony to save a wretched, insignificant sinner that the world at large knows nothing about, but He knew me. And He loved me. And He set His affections upon me. And He changed me. Have you experienced that kind of grace? Where God intervenes in your life? And He brings you out of the darkness you once loved and lived in. And He cleanses you from your sin and He forgives you of your wretchedness and your blasphemy and your depravity. You ought to be singing and praising God that He would rescue somebody like you. Yeah, I said you. Because you don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be saved. So we can sing. You see, God has a people. This glorious covenant of grace serves as a foundation for all mission work. See, God has a people. They're all over the world. We're called upon to take the gospel to every individual throughout all the world. Telling the good news that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for sinners. Sing here. He says, sing unto the Lord. This song of praise is to be directed to God alone. Not to the idols of men. Only God is worthy of songs of praise. And He says, sing a new song. One that flows from a new nature. A spiritual nature. Created by the Spirit of God in the new birth. You know, the songs I sing today are a whole lot different than the songs I sang growing up. And I thank God for the miraculous change. A lot of the music that has evolved over time is about lust, sex and drugs and wickedness and ungodliness and filthy speech. Now I got a new song. Not those old songs. The new song is about the glorious work of Jesus Christ. And we're going to sing this when we're glorified. It says in Revelation 5 and verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Isn't it interesting that that new song has reference to these saints of God reigning on the earth? You ever put that together? This song of redemption, as it's sung by the saints in glory in heaven that are glorified, they're looking forward to the day when they come to reign with the King on the earth. I'm so glad that I've got a new song. It's all about Jesus Christ. See, if you're saved, you don't sing about the waters of baptism as the means of salvation. You don't sing about preachers. You sing about Jesus. Because He's the only one that can redeem. He's the only one that can save sinners. You don't ever sing about your works. When you get to heaven, you're not going to be strutting around saying, boy, am I glad that I was smart enough to do this or choose that. Now, that's insanity. Well, I'm glad I was religious. No, all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, all the majesty is going to go to Jesus Christ alone. And you know what? That's the way it ought to be right here and now. We ought to sing this new song of praise, exalting our God. This new song of redemption and grace. Notice, sing a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. So, well, is that happening today? In a limited sense, yes. Think about this. Everywhere the gospel is preached and sinners are saved, God has put a new song in their heart. Yea, even praise unto our God. So the new song of redemption and grace, wherever people are saved, is being sung in some sense throughout all the earth. But I believe there's coming a day when everyone on earth is going to be singing this new song. When Jesus reigns supreme. And as you sing, you're to bless the name of the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. I got to thinking about that. Do you speak well of our God? Do you bless His name? So that you may have an influence upon others to think well of Him. When people hear you talk, do they recognize there's somebody that's blessing the name of God? There's somebody who has a song in his heart, who has an answer of the hope that lieth within him. Do people know that you belong to the Lord? That you love Him, that you're loyal to Him, that you praise Him, that you honor Him, that you obey Him. Bless His name. How often do people hear you blessing the name of the Lord? Exalting Him with songs of praise and words of adoration and exaltation. How much do we really bless the name of the Lord? Are you exalting God's name? Do you have reverence and respect for His name? Do you understand the prayer, the model prayer when Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Do you delight in His name? Have you taken refuge in the safety of His name? The Bible says in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is as a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You see, I'm safe from the world, from the devil, from condemnation, because I'm in Christ. Because I know Him and the free pardon of sin. Have you taken refuge in His name? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. That's why you're to bless His name alone. Not the preachers, not the popes, but the name and the glory of Jesus Christ alone. You see, God thinks a lot of this name. He's given Him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Bless His name in your everyday life. Praise His name. And sing with joy that you belong to Him. How about that? We got through the first two verses today. That's great, almost. We didn't get the last part. I'm going to deal with that next week. Let's all stand.